When Christ was born,
when Christ was born,
sing it. We stand in awe of your majesty and glory revealed in the earth through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. The second and the last Adam, whom you sent so that he would bring forth many more sons like unto himself, to show forth to men on earth what God is really like. We're grateful. We enter your word with that same feeling and sense of awe of who you truly are. The one who made the starry heavens. The earth is full of the intricacies of your wisdom and your handiworks. So we approach your word with reverence. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully conscious that we need your help to unravel the infinite wisdom that has been hidden and compacted in human words. To speak as we ought, like Paul said, to make it manifest for men to understand the mystery of the gospel, so that Christmas will not just be a human celebration, but a divine encounter that will cause the Son of God to be made manifest again in human flesh. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me said, it's been such a wonderful, wonderful time. We thank God for his presence, his anointing in the air. I feel such a warmth, a proximity to God. We do that all the time, but today's went up a notch. And I want to share with us a very simple Christmas message. Right? Very short, but I believe it will resonate in our hearts. One of the Bible passages that was read, and this is probably read all over the world, is one of the favorite ones, is the one in Luke, which records the incident when Jesus had been born in Bethlehem in a manger. A manger is a place where they feed cattle from. place, you know, where they put the grass. And it's from that grass that the donkeys and the horses eat. But because there was no room in the hotel, and Mary was urgent, maybe she'd probably broken water, and she had to give birth immediately. They couldn't afford the luxury of going around from one hotel to the other looking for a place. They had to manage what was available. And it was that place where they parked the donkeys and the horses and all of that. And they just managed something. They just brought the thing out and cleaned it out and put, you know, clothes on it so that she could. Now she brought forth the baby, that's where they put the baby. That night is probably one of, not probably, is certainly the most significant night in human history. The only thing that probably would be unequal with it would be the resurrection. Because one really feeds the other. No Christmas, no Easter. But if there was Christmas and there was not an Easter, then Christmas would not have fulfilled significance. And so we have this supernatural baby. Natural? Eyes, legs, heads, just like every normal baby. But yet, his birth was of a supernatural origin. In the dark, like we sang earlier on about, you know, old little town of Bethlehem. How graphic. How graphic. They didn't have electricity in those days. There were no street lights. It was all dark. People went around with just small torches and lanterns. You know, you can imagine how dark it was that night. Because, of course, they didn't have, you know, electricity like we do today. And there, under the hotel, and because in those days they built the hens, and it was at the bottom where they kept the animals. They would tie them, you know, to some type of pillar or stick, you know. And it was inside that place. You can imagine the smell of the manure, you know, because that's, you know, the horses and the donkeys would just, you know, pass their waste. You know, and so you can imagine just how, you know, unpleasant to some degree it must have been for Joseph and Mary, you know, and whoever else. Maybe they had a few of their kinfolk, because in those days they didn't used to travel alone. They used to travel in caravans and in groups. So they probably had maybe some cousins or friends who were with them. Because they must have had people who helped to deliver the child. Certainly, Joseph alone could not have delivered the baby. So they must have, you know, called for help, you know, and people would have come around and all of that. You know, it's good to think on the reality of what happened. So you take it away from its religious context. And then you're able to, in your heart, really appreciate what God did. And the baby brought forth and all of that, you know, and just only those few people would have known, maybe 10, 15, 20, you know, well, you know, that the baby had been born. Some of the other people didn't even know the kind of baby it was. They just knew that, you know, Joseph's wife, Mary, had given birth to a baby. You know, that's what most of the relatives would know. You know, only Joseph and Mary, and maybe one or two other people who maybe they may have confided in, had an idea of what happened. But God did not want that event to go without recognition. So, possibly about 2, 3, 4, 5 miles outside Jerusalem, sorry, outside Bethlehem, excuse me, there were some shepherds who obviously must have been men of some piety, men of a good heart. And God, in his wisdom and in his sovereignty, decided to make an announcement to those people. It's particularly significant that he didn't announce it to the mayor of Bethlehem. He didn't announce it to the ruler of the synagogue of Bethlehem. if we were going to say today, he announced to the Bishop of Bethlehem, they were all sleeping without having a clue of the most significant spiritual event that was taking place right under their noses. May God not allow that to be our portion in this day. You know, God can be doing something and you would just not have a clue if you're not walking with God. And so God goes about 3-4 miles down the road, just outside, you know, Bethlehem, the suburbs, I suppose, you know, and there were these shepherds who were just doing their job, looking after their sheep by night. And suddenly, God gives them discerning of spirits. They see this flash. And an angel just appeared to them. And what was dark before became very light. Light just began to shine. Of course they were afraid. You'd be afraid too. If you never knew what electricity... Remember, there was no electricity back in those days. It was nothing like that. So they just... It was night and all of a sudden... They just saw this bright light. Everything was shining. And they see this angel. Of course they were afraid. And the angel said, chill. Don't be afraid. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That is very significant. Not some people, all people. For unto you this night is born in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign. And then go, you will see the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. You know, obviously they must have, the Bible didn't tell us everything. You know, you just gave us the gist. They probably would tell them, like today, they will have streets and maybe not streets, but they'll have landmarks. They may say, oh, you know, in this particular inn, you know, which all of them would know and say, go there and you'll see it, you know, you see them there. So, gave them the description of the place. But before they left, after the angel had told them all that, suddenly, they just saw another multitude of angels. Not just one now, only God knows how many, 100, 1,000, only God knows. And began to sing. Say, glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men. Probably that vision didn't probably last more than 5-10 minutes, and the angels disappeared. It went dark again. The glory disappeared. And these guys said, wow, for God to honor us and show us this, let's go and check it out. So the shepherds went to Bethlehem, and obviously following the description of whatever the angels must have told them, went exactly to where the baby was, you know, and they saw Joseph, they saw Mary, his mother, and they told the people who were there. Like I said, you know, it wasn't just Joseph and Mary, it must have been some friends and relatives, you know, that must have been there, and told everybody what they had seen and what the angels said about the child. Obviously, to the shepherds as well as to the relatives, they heard it, but the significance of it would not have dawned upon them. But it was Mary, it resonated, because Mary knew an angel appeared to her before she had the baby. Mary knew that this baby was born supernaturally. Joseph too. So to them, the significance of what was said had a greater impact than to the shepherds and to the relatives who maybe were there and helped to deliver the baby and were looking after the baby and assisting them in whatever way, you know, that they could. But the point is this. The angels came with a message of goodwill to all men. I shared this at the Lifeford Junior School Christmas program. And I said, when he said all men, it means all men. Many of us, correction, all of us, are enjoying the benefit of Christ's coming into the earth without even knowing it. It is sad in one sense, but then in another sense, it's not totally our fault. Well, I won't say it's not totally our fault, but you know, people don't recognize the significance of what they're enjoying. When Jesus came into the earth, he brought many things, but primarily two: life and light. The scriptures tell us, you know, the baby was born in Bethlehem, which we just read. In John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, showing that God was, you know, Jesus was God before. Then, you know, made himself of no reputation, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Millions of men, billions, correction, of men today are enjoying the benefit of the life and the light that Christ brought to the earth, even when they don't know Christ. Even when they are not born again. Even when they have not yet accepted him in their hearts. Even when they deny his coming. That's the goodness of God, you know. They're still enjoying the benefit. And I said this that day. I preached by the Spirit, you know. I prayed, of course, before I came. And it just flowed out of me. I said, for you to be able to appreciate Christmas, you know, particularly here in Africa, but this is not only true of us Africans, it's true of the whole world, really. You know, you just have to go back a few more hundred years and it will apply to everybody. For us, I would say 200, 300 years. For others, maybe in Europe, I'll say go back 1,000 years. You know, and if you're in the Middle East and all that, maybe go back 5,000 years. But we all come back to this same point. Think about what life would have been 200 years ago. Where would you be? If Jesus hadn't come and brought the light and the life of the gospel, think about where you would be this afternoon 200 years ago. You would be, let me tell you where you would be. The Yoruba say, Entuba Monuro Amopeda. So you can appreciate Christmas and you can appreciate what Jesus did. Even if you may not even be a Christian yet, for those who are watching on television, you know. Or, you know, you may not even be taking your Christianity seriously. Maybe this will prompt you. You know where you'd be? You'd be in some village somewhere. Your life would be hanging by a thread. Because you would be subject to all kinds of demonic influences. Maybe the Ifa oracle would have said to your father that you are supposed to be given up as the next human sacrifice to stop the famine in the village, and you have no power against it. Just 200 years ago. This is 2016. So if you go back to 1816 or 1716. Or maybe if you're a woman and a man, you just had a child, and the child has been smitten with smallpox, and the elders tell you, shop on Oluse. You had no other choice but for that child to die. But today, you go to UCH. They'll give you vaccination. The child would live, but 200 years ago, he would die because Jesus came. How does that have to do with Jesus? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I did a research in 2005. I preached it. That message is on our website. You know, just put Light of Life on the weekly Rhema search engine. It'll come out. You'll see it. I didn't think I did it. I went deliberately. I discovered that every major scientific invention that makes our life today what it is today, 97% came from England and America alone. Not Russia, not France. They had a few contributions, but very little. Majority. And if you go back, you can see it all came from the Reformation. It was as if, it was not as if, it was. Man was living in darkness for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, we were riding horses, we were riding donkeys, we were tilling the land the same way we were tilling it before. That was just, you know, it's, we just lived the same way for thousands of years, you know. Then suddenly, a young monk in Germany named Martin Luther stumbled upon the truth of the new birth. The just shall live by faith. And light came back to the world. Hallelujah. Within 100 years, King James of England commissioned a bunch of scholars to translate the Bible into the common language that the English people could read, and made a decree that it must be read in churches every Sunday, for the entrance of his word giveth light. It was barely 100 years after that, a young man called Isaac Newton was born. And everything that seemed mysterious about the stars and the planets and their rotation, he put it down in fine mathematical language. Before, shortly after that, you know, a few 100 years, we've invented the steam engine, electromagnetic wave theory, a man called Michael Faraday, James Clerk Maxwell. I'm talking about light, folks. You're sitting under air conditioner. You have a mobile phone in your hand. When you get out now, you're going to travel, you're not going to walk. You're not going to go by horse. You get into a car and you start it. Who do you think gave you all that? His name is Jesus. The light! All the modern conveniences we have today came by the light of life. God enlightening men's intellect. So how are you sure this is so? Why didn't you find it 1,000 years ago? I know the Chinese did some things, and even all of that was the light from the Garden of Eden. That one went down after a few 1,000 years, and the knowledge that was preserved there was what they used, and then they went back to all the normal mundane things until the light of life came back. We appreciate what Christianity did back in the East. When I say the East, I'm talking about the East of Nigeria, you know, among the Igbos and the Ibibios and things like that. They used, if they had twins, they would take them to the evil forest. Because some devil told them that twins are evil spirits. So if you're a Taiwo or you're a Kehinde, you will not be here this afternoon. You'll be in the evil forest. You're here because of Jesus. Give him a clap offering. Entuba Monuro. If you don't think about these things deeply, you won't appreciate it. Everything we have that makes modern civilization the way it is because of Jesus. The light. Not only scientific, even the light of civilization. the rule of law. The law that governs Nigeria, England, America, you know, all the nations of the world came from English law. That's why God made England rule the whole world for a short period of time. Everybody, and you know where English law came from? The Bible. And that is why today, if your husband dies, this used to be true in India. I know we too had things like that here, but I know of this true, that they used to call it Sethi. If a woman's husband dies in India, they still practice it. In fact, it's just recently that God has helped so that they've stopped it. In some still rural places, they still try and practice it. But if they're caught, they'll be jailed, you know, or killed. You know what happened? If your husband dies, when they go in India, they don't bury. They cremate. It was back, you know, 200, 300 years ago. So if the husband dies, the way the wife honors the husband is by sitting on his funeral pyre. So when they set the light to burn him, they burn her with him. It was supposed to be an honor. Some devil told them. Who took it away? Jesus. Give him another clap offering. It is the law of light. That's why God allowed the British Empire, even though I don't agree with all the exploitation and some of the things that they did, but God used it. Are you listening to me? You know, if it wasn't for the British Empire, you won't be here. You'd be in some village somewhere where there'll be some worse king than the English king, fighting intertribal wars, who would just see you come out and see your wife and say, and if you talk too much, they will kill you. When he follows Obey. We have plenty to thank God for. This is the light that Jesus brought. And you know who is enjoying it? All men. It doesn't matter if you are born again or you're not born again. It is goodwill to all men. Everybody on the earth. Everybody on the earth today, they're enjoying mobile phones, they're enjoying cars, they're enjoying aeroplanes, they're enjoying air conditioners, they're enjoying medical science because of Jesus. Whether you believe in him or not, what he said, what the word said, what God said 2,000 years ago to those shepherds is true today. Goodwill to the message of Christmas. In him was life, and the life, that day that baby was born in Bethlehem, light came to the earth. It took about 33 years for it to come out, but it came out. And since then, it's been going all over the whole earth. And today the whole earth is being filled with the knowledge of his will. And more of us, I was born here in Africa, I was born here in Nigeria. If I did not get to know the Bible and Jesus, I'd just be as ignorant as anybody else. But here I am today. Not because I'm smarter or better than anybody else, because light came and enlightened my understanding. So I can appreciate Christmas. So it goes beyond buying presents and eating rice and dodo. Hello, somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. But it goes beyond that. Christianity brings the life of God to man, brings light, brings wisdom and advancement, civilization. And that's what you and I are enjoying this afternoon. And so, What does this challenge us to do? The Apostle Paul said it this way. I like that. He said, if one died for all, then we're all dead. So that they who live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them. Two things that the Christmas message should trigger in every human heart. One, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. All you do is just think on what I just said. Where would you have been 200 years ago? You can thank God. Most of us would even be dead. We wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't be alive. You know why? The infant mortality rate was so high. The mothers, you know, if they had children, if they had 10, one would survive or two. The remaining 8 die between the age of 0 and 3 or 4 years old. It's either smallpox or some virus or something. It was just God. So you have plenty to thank God for. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. So anytime you enter a car or use a phone or any of these modern conveniences that makes life so simple, that makes life so our lifestyle so much better today, you use a toilet, you should say thank you Jesus. Your forefathers didn't have toilets. They didn't even know what toilets were. So they spread disease without knowing it. And called it Shokmono. Or some other stupid deity. The second thing the Christmas message should trigger in your heart is commitment. First, thanksgiving. Then secondly, I need to know this Jesus. And I need to serve him so that the blessing I have gotten through him, I can pass it to many others who don't have it. They which live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Yes, the word became flesh 2,000 years ago. But guess what? The word is still becoming flesh as we speak. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. It says, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. You can ask me that same question rhetorically today and say, Pastor Luby, how shall this be? How? How can the word become flesh again? How? 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 How can there be Christ in me, the hope of glory? How? How can I walk like Jesus walked? How can I do the works that Jesus did and even greater? How can these things be? Is it possible? The same answer that angel Gabriel gave to Mary 2,000 years ago is the same answer God has given to you today. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. So that the holy thing that is born inside your heart will be called as much the Son of God as Jesus was. For he was brought forth to bring forth many sons to glory. Hallelujah. It is only when you do that, those two things, thanksgiving and commitment to God, that you can really show God you appreciate what he did. Every other thing is just talk. These people draw near to me with their mouths, but their heart is far from me. My son, give me your heart. The three wise men, they brought gold, they brought frankincense, and they brought myrrh. You bring yours. bring the gold of your heart. You know what gold is? The most expensive, you know, natural thing. That's your will. See, God gave you a free will. Say, God, this is mine, but I now give it to you. Frankincense speaks symbolically of prayer. Honest prayer. That's why it's frank. Honest prayer. Frank prayer. Incense, the type of the Spirit. I can never forget what Mama Sarah showed us the other day. That thing has stuck in my heart. Remember the angels? The two cherubims over the mercy seat. Then, honey, you know what I want to do? I do this. Even me, your pastor, did this. And that should humble all of you. You know, I went to do homework. After Mommy preached, the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, give me more. And he took me to Leviticus chapter 16. On the Day of Atonement, when the high priest will enter into the most holy place, he will carry incense from the holy place. He will take it across the veil. Then he will put the incense, the cloud of incense, on over the mercy seat where those angels are. That's what happens when your prayer is supported by the mercy of God through the ministry of angels. And that will now cause the thing to rise up before God. And God will now move on your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you take the frank incense. You bring it and you place it. Incense, a type of prayer, over the mercy seat. See, you don't go to prayer with arrogance. You come boldly, but not with arrogance. You come boldly that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Then myrrh. You become fellowship of his sufferings. You too, you give life for others. He says, so then, life worketh in you, but death in us. Just like Jesus suffered on the cross, and his life was being diverted for our benefit. As you pray, some of that life is given to others, and you suffer some inconvenience for a short while. But you understand, and you say, God, I know what you're doing. That's okay too. You suffered inconvenience for me, I suffer inconvenience for others. And so that we can get the job done. When you do those three things, you give him your gold, you give him your incense, your frankincense, and you give him your myrrh, then you have appreciated what God did at Christmas. Let us pray. Talk to him. Don't draw near with your mouth alone. No. There's nothing wrong. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to eat this afternoon. We're going to dance. We're going to enjoy ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. But let it go beyond mouth. And fine clothes and Christmas is more than that. It's good to do all of these things because it's an honor to the King. But we want to go beyond that. We want to be like Mary. We want to be like the three wise men. I say, Jesus, I give you my best. You gave me your best. Now I give you my best. I give you my gold. I give you my frankincense. I give you my myrrh. I become a fellowship of your sufferings so that I too now become a channel through which resurrection, life, and power will flow. And the men will see your glory through and in my life. Then they will know that what they read in a book isn't just a story. That is a reality. See, he says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but by demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what God wants this Christmas. We move into the new year. Move in with these things. Remember, your incense must be on top of the mercy seat. When you pray, always have mercy at the top of your heart. Jude tells us this: keep yourself in the love of God, building up yourself on your most holy, praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy, praying in the Spirit, incense without an attitude of mercy it's not going to be as effective as it should be. You need the mercy. Because it's at the mercy seat where that instance, there will I commune with you. There I will meet you. And that's when your angels can operate at their maximum efficiency. When you have a heart of mercy. Talk to God. Christmas is here again. But let it not just be a physical ceremony. Understand what you have. All men are benefiting, even those who don't know Jesus. Here are my ways.
Abide in me, I pray.
Here I am longing.
Here I am longing for you.
Hide me in your love.
Hide me. Heart and raise the other one to God. We're living at a very momentous time in human history. We have experienced an unprecedented and still experiencing an unprecedented shaking of the nations. The scriptures tell us that I will shake all nations. But the good news, that's the bad news, but the good news is that then the desire of all nations will come. How is he going to come? In you and I. In us. They will say, this is our God, we have waited for him. The scriptures reveal to us. It says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. These are the times of shaking. But the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, will bring stability to these uncertain times. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness, blocking my right standing with God, so that your life can flow freely and maximally into my spirit. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on me as I pray. I come under the mercy seat in between the cherubims as I pray, trusting for the ministry of angels and your mercy to cause this prayers to avail much. Oh my God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for opening my eyes further to see the benefits I am gaining because Jesus was born. I thank you for the light. I thank you for life, of which I am a beneficiary today. Oh God. Oh God, I appreciate Christmas. I appreciate the birth of Christ. I appreciate all I have gained in my own life personally. Medical science, technological conveniences that make me what I am today. Make me enjoy what I'm enjoying, the quality of life that I'm enjoying today. Oh God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you. I say thank you. I utter thanksgiving. I bring thanksgiving from a heart of understanding and a heart of gratitude. Thank you for Jesus. Without Jesus, I would not be here this afternoon. Without Jesus, I would not have the life I have today. I recognize that and appreciate it. And I thank you. And I go a step further. Because he has done so much, oh Lord, I bring him the gold of my heart. I bring him the frankincense of my prayer life. I bring him the myrrh of the fellowship of his sufferings, so that as he was raised from the dead, the life of God will be made manifest in my mortal flesh, so that men will see me and know that what is written in the Bible is not a story, that it is reality. And they themselves will now become beneficiaries thereof. Oh God, this is the least I can do after all you have done for me. In Jesus' name. Nekatoloma tufredeka. Zelime shelibika tufrenes. Ziketoloma shalangardofres. Lirana tonziki dus tufrenes. Zolebrion zigig tu gdagalash tolomengarst tufrining zagi yukuru tolomotolomankokromotolomot tufri de freshi zelemingire ketushke fres zofrinia ketufrinias lembrige tuske frene number komotolomot tufri de freshi zake gromotolomot tufris Zofri glomatulomakur, Zofridiga, Lombraka tolomatulomatufre, Shiki tufrines, Zofrinis, Zofriningaras, Shiki tufrines, Nofrinis, Lingardalas, Shiki tufrines, Nofrinis, Tulomangaras, Tufrinis, Shiki es, Lufridias, Nufridingitus, Zofridis, Nungridilis, Shiki ros, Lufridis, Nira Zoli Liketush Kufrines. In Jesus' name. One last prayer. The Lord just put in my heart. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. You need a miracle in your life. The Bible calls about signs and wonders. Wonderful. Jesus came to bring wonders into your life. And I'm going to pray for you now. A short prayer. Look into your life. What do you need a wonder for? You need a miracle. You need something wonderful. He not only came just to give us life, but he came, that life will now produce wonders in our life. He said, behold, I and the children that God has given me for signs and wonders. Talk to God. Put one hand. I know we normally pray for healing, but today we're going to pray. The healing is included in this. Just touch your body as a point of contact. Raise the other hand to God and ask God for a miracle. Ask God for a miracle. Ask God for a wonder. I don't know, you need a wonder, whatever area you need it in. A wonder. Hallelujah. And God is going to honor that word. Heavenly Father, I bring everyone on the sound of my voice. Those who are here physically, those who are hearing me remotely, electronically, anybody who is believing you now for something wonderful in their lives. As we close 2016, and enter into 2017, Father, I pray that I release the wonder-working power of Jesus Christ into your lives in the name of Jesus to wrought a miracle, to wrought a healing, to wrought a deliverance, to wrought a provision. And you will know that God did it because he loves you. And he will cause you to respond with a higher level of consecration, a higher level of dedication in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. What a Christmas.